Come on, do it with me, just simple. Woo! Woo! You say, what is that? Well, the words that make a joyful noise. Sounds joyful to me. How about you? Come on, choir. Woo! Doesn't that just feel good? Do it as unto the Lord, like, woo! God is great. God's so good. Lives in your neighborhood. Greater than your mind. Greater than your desires. The Spirit of the Lord wants to set y'all on fire. Give him praise. Give him praise. You know how to ask. You know how to want. But do you know how to praise? Just bless his name. Come on. Just bless his name. How on fire are you for God? You know how much he loves you. But does he know how much you love him? Does he know? Can he tell? Does it show? Ring a bell? You know how much he loves you. Do you know how much you love him too? You love him too? Jesus said to Peter one day, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I love you, Lord. He said, no, Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you, Lord. And Jesus said again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, show me. Feed my sheep. God didn't create two separate people. He created all of the nations out of one. God is one. He's the only one. And he connects everything according to his will and his purpose. You cannot have a need, no matter what it is, that's big enough to reveal to you, if God were to answer that need. You don't have a need big enough, large enough, deep enough, strong enough, that if God answered that need, that he would be revealed to you for who he is. You can't. Your needs, our needs, aren't big enough for God to express through our needs who he is to us. You couldn't possibly have a need that big. God is great. I love worship today. You know what I loved about worship? It was all about how great God is. You know, we sing ministry songs, and those are great. How he saved and healed, and he gets you out of trouble, and he delivers you. And I know you've heard me say this today. Or say it before, but to just talk about who he is, that's worship. And there's ministry and song, and that's beautiful. You minister to one another and tell you how he's dug you out, and you testify about you and what he did for you and 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 me and me and me and me. But when it's all about him, something different happens. The atmosphere changes. Things lighten up and things light up. You know how much he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever just believes in him will accept what he's done, will have everlasting life. For God so loved. How much do you love back? Does he know how much you love him? How much do you love him? I need some preachers in the house. Come on. I need somebody to shout me down. Come on, shout me down. I love being in a congregation where they just get so excited about the word. Just so excited about God, you can't keep them down. You ever been so frustrated on the freeway that you'll say something you shouldn't say, And then you say, they made me do that. No, they didn't. That was inside of you all the time. It didn't come out of them. It came out of you. You should ask yourself, how much do I love God? And how much do I love Him back? That's a really important question. You should step back, take a look, and say, how much do I love God? And do I show Him how much I love Him? Do I show Him? It's a really important question. It's really important to take account and just say, God, I know You love me, but do You know how much I love You back? And you have to love Him back because He first loved you. So I'm going to love You back. If you'll just do that, if you'll do that one thing, the first commandment, have no other gods before Me. And you don't need a graven image made out of gold or silver or wood to be an idolater. Ouch. Because the One that creates those is looking right back at you in the mirror. Who do you worship? Really, who do you worship? You don't mind if I call you to take account, do you? Do you? Do you mind? Do you mind if I call you to take account? You can answer. The question is no. You're all afraid. Here at PFC, no one asks a question when I ask because they always think they're going to be wrong. And I'm to blame for that, and I take responsibility. So now that you know the answer, do you mind if I call you to accountability today? Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the church. Are you hungry? Are you really hungry? Do you really want Him to know? Do you really want Him to know how much you love Him? I really want my wife to know how much I love her. And a lot of times, most all the time, it's very difficult to put it into words. But if nothing else fails, I just say something like, I really love you. And then I go on to tell her all the great things about who I know her to be. I want God to know about my love for Him, what my wife knows about my love for her, and what I know about her love for me. You know He loves you, but how have you represented your love towards Him? How have you demonstrated your love towards Him? First commandment, have no other gods before Me. If you just do that, if you make God your God, you're created to be a worshiper, and everyone on the planet worships something. We just can't help ourselves. That's who we are. But if you worship Him, I'm telling you, the dawn of the greatest season of your life is about to dawn on you. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. You can take your seats. You can take your seats this morning. Psalms 35 and verse 27 says this, and I'm going to start out this morning just like a normal preacher, which you all know I'm not, but I'm going to pretend. Psalms 35 verse 27 says, "Let those who delight in My righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord." Let those that delight in My righteousness, let them be joyful, let them delight, let them rejoice, and let them shout forevermore, great is the Lord. Now I need your help today. I need you to shout me down. Say, great is the Lord. Yeah. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Come on. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. I want you all to turn black today. Will you do that for me? I can always tell. I am black. I'm telling you right now, I'm black. Inside and out, I'm just black. It just doesn't show on the outside. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because anytime I've ministered in a black church, I've had the best time of my life because everybody just gets in it with me. Right? I did a funeral one time. It was one of the best services I've ever had. It was in a black church with one of the closest friends we had. And he passed away, and they asked me to come and do, and there was about 1,000 people, or a couple thousand, I don't remember what was it, just a lot of people. And I got up there, and these pastors are sitting on these, like, thrones behind me, chairs, whatever they were. And I just thought, they are not going to like what I am about to say. And the mic was fixed to the podium, so I couldn't move. Can you imagine not moving? Me not moving? Can you imagine that? And I thought, this is going to be a dry service. These guys are not going to say a word. I began to minister, and the Spirit of God just began to flow, and the Word of God just came out, and we literally had a celebration. These guys all jumped up behind me. I didn't know if at first they were going to tackle me or if they were going to shout with me. But thank God they shouted with me, and I had one of the best. I went out there and went, man, I've never liked doing funerals, but this was a blast. It was a great time. When you get involved, even in a difficult time, when you get involved with who God is, when you get involved, when you let your ear hear your mouth say who He is and how great He is, and we come into unity with who He is. We may not agree on all the details of life and specifics, but we can agree on one thing. Great is the Lord, and let those that delight in His righteousness, hear what He's saying, let those that delight in My righteousness be glad. Now see, He's saying it like this, if you will delight in My righteousness, you will be glad, you will rejoice, and you will say forevermore, great is the Lord. There isn't a need that you can have that would demonstrate who God really is to you. So I'm going to recap a few things today, so bear with me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
God doesn't necessarily want to make your life better. You're not shouting.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now that's a faith shout right there. That's what that is. It's a good old faith shout because you're like, man, that didn't sound encouraging at all. I need my life better. No, you don't. You don't need your life better. God doesn't necessarily want, nor is He necessarily interested in making your life better. Because better, again, is a comparison word. And I'm saying what I'm saying today because you need to hear it again. Better than what? Better than what? Better than really bad? Better than not so bad? Better than it could be better? Better than what? Better than what? God is better than. God is good. Great. Great is the Lord, and great is God to be praised. And we hear the Word talk about how great God is, and not understanding the heart of God can sometimes mentally make you think of a distance between how great He is and how lowly we are. And there is truth to that. There is no one that really, the Word says there's not really any righteous, there's not really any that really seek God. The Word said that. I read that first day and said, man, what are you saying? I seek God? I seek the Lord? I mean, I hope I'm the righteousness of God. What is it saying? But there really isn't anything. There isn't anything about us, anything about a need, anything about a desire that you would have that would reveal who God is. And knowing who He is makes us like Him. Isn't that amazing? To know God for who He is, to know Christ for who He is, makes you like Him, like God did in the beginning when God created man, when He created the heavens and the earth, He created you and I. He created one person, Adam, and then took Eve out of His side because we're supposed to be part of the body. Isn't that cool? That's so simple. So when God said part of the body, He's recalling the very first man that He made, the body. And Jesus is called the final Adam, the last Adam. In other words, He did it right. He did it the way God intended. So we're reminded of God's creation that let's make man in our image and after our likeness, and let's give them dominion in the earth. wanting things better holds you back. Because better is a comparison word. You're comparing it to, you ever compared and said this is better when it was bad? What you're saying is that was bad, this is better. But it wasn't good because that was so bad. Well, this wasn't as bad, and where I am today is better. But that's still not better than a little bad, still isn't good enough. Because God is good. God is great. And the great God who created us out of his mind, his, if you will, his imagination, his heart. He created all things, the word says, for his purpose and his pleasure. So that tells us why he created us. He created us because it pleased him. He created you because it pleased him to do so. And he knows you inside and out. David said it like this. He said, when I was being formed in my mother's womb, before I ever took a breath, you knew all about me. Not you knew all about me, but you knew all about your thoughts towards me. And then there's the scripture that says, my thoughts towards you are so many and so good. If you sat down and spent an entire lifetime trying to count how many great things God has and does and says and thinks about you, you still wouldn't have time in a lifetime to know. Even a small portion of all the wondrous things God thinks about you, and that is true. He's grace. He's mercy. Grace and mercy. And a lot of times, what holds us back is not God's grace and mercy, but that's all we know. Just his grace and his mercy. And we continue to fall on his grace and his mercy and his grace and his mercy because there's no real change. The word says, don't be conformed, or I say conned, into a form, but be transformed. And here's a key word, by the renewal of your mind. So let's figure out what that is. Okay, the word says no one knows the thoughts of God. You can't know the mind of God, okay? So do you get that God doesn't want your life better? Because better means you're comparing today better with something that was probably bad or not very good. Or you wouldn't be saying today is better. So better is a comparison word, and it's just not nearly good enough. It's not close to who God is. And we are created to walk in his image. And we are created to walk in his likeness. But the word says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then the word says, no one knows the mind of God. No one knows the thoughts of God because they're so much elevated. They're so much higher than your thoughts. We can go with that, right? That's pretty easy. Yeah, I know God's a lot smarter than I am. Well, he's a lot smarter, but there's more than that. And he says, and you can't know them. It's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the word says, but the Spirit searches the deep things of God's heart, and then he reveals unseen, unknown. It says it like this, no eye has seen. And it's referring literally in the original text, no eye, meaning no angelic being, no eye in heaven, no ear in heaven, knows, has any idea the things that God, the fullness of who and what God is and what he has prepared for you. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. So heaven and earth, we're the same, okay? Remember when John falls down before the angel and he worships him, and the angel says, hey, get up. He said, we're in this together, brother. I want to know what you want to know. I want to know him better. I want to know him more. And through your faith, you're a lens for us. So worship God. Worship God. So you meet an angel of the Lord in heaven, and this is what he says, worship God. Of all the things he could say, of all the things he could reveal, he says, worship God, worship God. So if you ever wonder what would happen if you stepped into heaven, what would be the first thing heaven might or probably would say to you? Do I need to shout a little more? Worship God. Worship God. But the Spirit searches the deep things of God, and the Word says, and He reveals the intentions of God. So the Spirit of God does something. You think about, oh, yeah, there's that preaching, you need the Holy Spirit, you need to be saved. I've heard it a million times. Here's the thing. The thing you're looking for, the thing you should be looking for, not only should you be looking for the will of God, but the will of God is what you're looking for. Would I say it again? Yes, absolutely. Not only should you be looking and seeking for the will of God, but the will of God is what you're looking and seeking for. But if you don't seek for that, and you look in other areas for what you're looking and seeking for, you can't find it. That's why the Word says, hell and destruction are never full, nor the eyes of man satisfied. Meaning no matter what you get, it will never, ever be enough. And because it's not fulfilling at some point, it becomes dissatisfaction. And then dissatisfaction becomes rejection. And that's where a lot of trouble in families, homes, churches, business, across the nations take place. Not because you've done something bad. Not because you were a sinner, because you're born again, you're saved. But because you don't know the will of God. You just don't know the will of God. I don't know. Jesus said, when you pray, say, reveal your will. Your will be, let me know, I show me your will. That's what Jesus said in short. Reveal the kingdom in me and let your will be done. And if that happens, then everything else changes in your life. What you desire, you cannot, absolutely cannot, it is impossible for you to have a desire strong enough that if God answered that you'd know who He is. You don't have that in you. That's not in you. That's in the thoughts and the mind of God. Only the mind of God knows satisfaction, fulfillment of desire. Only the thoughts of God. You need the mind of God. God doesn't want to make your life better. He wants it to be good. God's good is the best. He wants your life to be good. Better. As long as you're willing to settle for better. Well, this is better than that. It's better than that, but it's not nearly good enough. Not even close. And better than that holds you back. Seeking God to meet your needs holds you back. You're not shouting me down. Because so often your needs dictate your relationship with God. Oh, God answered that prayer, so praise be the name of the Lord. What if you praised Him just for who He is? Just who you are. And I don't even know who all that is. And I want to know. If you became so hungry just to know Him, not just a preacher, just a guy or a gal that just says, Jesus, I love you, and I want to get saved, and I don't want to go to hell. But there's so much more. We don't get saved to escape hell. We get saved because we're born out of heaven. You're born out of the mind and the thoughts and the attributes and the nature of God. That's why Jesus said, you got to get this. Not like, you must be born again. It wasn't that.
You must be born again.
No, it's not that condemning judgment finger. God was saying, you got to get this. You got to be born again. The disciples were saying, you've got to get this. You've got to be born again. Is it better? Oh, no, it's not better. You can't compare this with anything and say it's better. Better than what? Better than what? There's nothing with which to compare. Better than. I'm gonna tell a story again. It's because I want to, and it's a good story. And it's my platform, and it's my time right now. So one day, I'm doing landscaping and I'm hauling wheelbarrows full of rock from the front yard to the backyard. Just hauling wheelbarrows full of rock from the front yard to the backyard. In the morning, it's cool, a little balmy, just nice. As the day progressed, it gets hotter and hotter. At a point, I go, this is way crazy. This is too hot. It's in the middle of the day. Sun straight up. It's hot. There's a thermometer outside on a post in the sun, 110, 112. I'm going, oh, this is insane. And I thought, I need to get in some shade. So I found some shade, and in the shade, there was a thermometer, 104. It's better. I sat down in the shade. 104 was better than 110, 112. After a few minutes, my head began to just pound. Setting in better. And after a while, about 30 minutes, better wasn't good. I couldn't think straight. You see, better is not good enough. I needed good. I needed a good temperature. I needed to get inside. I needed a cool place. God wants you inside. He doesn't want you on the outside saying, this is better. Better than what? Better than the worst you've had? Better than it's not too bad? Better than it's okay? Or better than? Best is God's will for your life. Best is God's will for your life. 104 was better, but it wasn't nearly good enough. God wants you to know great. He wants you to know good, and it's not ever going to happen because He meets your needs or answers your desires, because your desire couldn't possibly be big enough for God to reveal how big He is. Now, He will meet your needs. He said He would. He said, look at the birds of the air. He said, they don't store into barns. I take care of them. Look at the flowers, the lilies of the field. They don't work. They don't sweat. They don't sow. But look at how beautifully clothed they are. Consider them. In all of their Solomon's glory, he was not dressed, arrayed like one of these. Just consider, the Lord knows what you have need of. It's kind of amazing to me, a lot even our worship. Worship songs are not worship songs. They're about what we came out of. And that's great to know. It's great to testify about what we came out of and what God has done. But when it becomes the core of how and why we worship God, it's just better. It's not good. And better isn't good enough. It's better to be singing the songs and be thanking God that you're no longer as bad as you were. You're better, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. The Word says that God called us to be like-minded, to be part of the body of Christ. He then describes and He says, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and My Spirit dwells and abides in you. And why? Because the only way to know God is by the Holy Spirit that reveals the thoughts and the mind of God, and they're so superior to what you have need of. And when you begin to understand and you say, God, I mean this by faith. I exercise as much faith asking you this question as I do any time that I'm having a really difficult time or I really need an answer. With the same faith, I'm asking you, reveal your will to me. Tell me who you are. Reveal to me that you are God Almighty. Forget my needs. You'll take care of that. But when you have the mind of God, you begin to see God for who He is. And in who He is, everything you were intended to be is made known. It's made clear. You get it. And Paul said, don't be conformed. Don't be conned by treachery or distraction. I love what Devo said. Don't be, watch distraction. Watch distraction. God, if you would give me this, you should never pray that prayer. It should never be a bargain with God. God, if you will give me this. You know, think God's over on the other side of the table going, okay, it looks like a good deal to me. If I give. God isn't lacking anything. He doesn't need you. He loves you. He doesn't need you to be good to enhance his kingdom or to make him feel better. He wants you to know good so you are enhanced, so you feel way beyond better. So you feel great, so you feel good, so the joy and the praise of the Lord is not contrived. It's genuine, it's real, it's organic. You worship God because of who he is and not just what he's done for you. What he's done for you is incredible, but it's better. When he meets your need, you're better. It's better than it was. You know, I had 2 apples in my refrigerator and God gave me 4. Now it's better than it was, but it's still not great. We need to desire the greatness of God. The world needs the change of thinking wonderful. Thinking wonderful. God isn't just nice to me. He isn't just grace. He's grace because he wants me to know how wonderful he is. Sometimes relationships with God can be like server relationship. You know what a server is? You know, in a restaurant, you go in, person comes up and says, "Hi, I will be your server today. What can I get for you?" Or, depending on where you go, "Hi, I'm your server today. It's so great to have you here." And you say, "Well, we're glad to be here. We have some specials. Would you like to hear them?" "Sure." And then they run off these specials that you never, ever want. But it's fun to hear them anyway. Typically, I'm there because I know what I want. That's why I'm there. That makes sense, right? I'm here because I know what I want. But if it makes you feel better, go ahead and tell me about. But those, you know, there's a certain camaraderie with a server. You know what I'm talking about? They come and they serve you and you're happy. If they do a good job, you're happy. If they treat you right, you're happy. Server relationship. We like that. We all like to be treated good. We all like to be made special. You have those other times, though, where they come in. "Can I help you?" "Hi." "Hi. Can I help you?" "Yeah. Can you tell me about..." "Yeah, it's blah, 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 blah. You know, is this steak tender?" "I think it is." "It looks like you need a little more time, you know, so I'll come back later." And you're like, "Wow. Well, they're a real jerk, right?" Can I say jerk? I didn't say they were. I just said you said they were. Anyone ever been there? And then you'll have a server like we had the other night. My wife and I and daughter were at a restaurant. The guy comes up and he says he's seen us there before and he starts talking to us. "And where are you from?" "And we're from, you know, da-da-da." "And, well, what do you do?" "And, well, you know." And he said, "Oh, really? Well, I'm from there." "Really? No way. Yeah, I am. Really? Amazing. Yeah, da-da-da-da." He starts asking me, we start asking him, and we're having more than just a casual conversation. We're getting to know one another. We're having a relationship. Okay, there are some people treat God like this. You know, the guy comes and he asks, "Well, how are you? What are you doing?" And you're just like, "I just want to eat. I just need you to serve me. I don't want to hear anything about your life. I don't care how well you're doing." So you won't even ask. That's so commonplace that a lot of times when you say, "I'm doing great, how are you?" Well, they'll say, "Well, thanks for asking. Do you really want to know?" Now, if you're Russian, you don't want to say that to a Russian. Because if you ask a Russian, "How are you?" Well, they're going to tell you. I mean, they're going to give you the long story. "Well, actually, not too good right now. You know, my family and I learned this from my Russian friend, my Ukrainian friend." Part Russian, part Ukrainian. Today he's Ukrainian. But anyway, so you know what I mean. So when he was asked, "How are you doing?" he would tell them. If it was good or bad, it didn't matter. You asked. So they take it literally, like, "You really want to know how I'm doing, so let me tell you, and thank you for asking me. Have a chair. I have a lot to say." So I found out early on, you don't necessarily do that. You know, I had to find my way, like, I hope you're having a good day. Well, actually, not really. So you had to, I had to work my vernacular around knowing how to communicate. How do we have a relationship where we're not going to be here all day? I really don't care how you're doing. It's just, I'm just asking because it's what we do. How do you do? How are you doing? And that's kind of like server relationship. You know, you don't really care how your server's doing, do you? You just want him to what? Or her to? Serve you. Just bring me what I want and be nice about it. Serve me. It's kind of the relationship people want with God. Just bring me what I want. Just serve me. I don't really want to know what's on your mind, God. I just want you to serve me. If you answer what I need, then I'm happy. And if you don't, that server, I'll never come back in here again. Did you hear, look, do you see how he looked at me when I said, I'm sorry, can I have another glass of water? And then he says, is there anything else? Now, is there anything else can be said in a lot of different ways. Is there anything else I can get you? Meaning, I'd like to get you more, if you'd like to have more. And there's, is there anything else so I don't have to make a second trip back here? Two different things, see? The whole spirit of the thing. It's all different. Some people have that relationship with God. Can you serve me? Now, you're not going to admit that. But that's the way you feel. And as long as you're serving me, as long as you're answering my prayer, I know you love me. And if you don't, why did God let that happen? Why did God do that to me? He didn't do anything to me. See, the holes we try to climb our way out of are the holes we've dug for ourselves. God didn't put you in any kind of trouble. Remember, my thoughts towards you are so good. He's called the good, not the better shepherd. He's called the good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd, not an okay shepherd. Not better than the last shepherd. Better than the last that was bad, I can tell you straight up, is still bad. Better is a comparison word, and it'll get you in more trouble than you could imagine, and it doesn't take very long. Better is not what God has for you. Great. The great shepherd has great things for you. And believing God for your needs to be met is not a relationship. It's a server relationship. It's more of a camaraderie. I need you to know all about my problems and issues, and I need you to answer them. And those are the fervent prayers. That's when you care. That's when you get into the Word, you know? I'm in the Word today. I always want to say, what kind of trouble are you in? Because you weren't in the Word yesterday when you had your job and your bonus. You weren't in the Word then, but you're in the Word today. Because you lost your bonus and you lost your job, so you're in the Word today. And you're in the Word today because you didn't have a relationship with God. He was a server to you. Server faith. You don't have a need big enough that God could reveal who He is through it. You don't have one. God proved that in the wilderness. He said, you need to get from here to there. But what I need is you. See, when God gave Adam and Eve the garden, it wasn't the earth He gave them. What He wanted to give them was His thoughts. What God wanted to give them wasn't the ground. It wasn't the plants and the trees and the animals. What He wanted them to have is His mind. So the first thing He does, He says, Adam, I want you to know what I'm thinking. What is this? And if you call it out, that's going to be the right name. Listen to what I'm saying to you. An elephant god? That's right, Adam. Whatever He called it, that was the name thereof. He didn't make up the name. Where would he get the name if he didn't get it from God? Did Adam know something God didn't? Did he come up with a name that God wasn't aware of? Or is it what the Word says? Whatever He called it, that was its name. Not Adam made up the name, so that's what it is today. No, what he called it was the name thereof. He had the heart of God. God gave him the tree and dominion over the earth, not because he wanted him to have and not have, but he wanted him to have his mind, not the things around him. Because when you have the mind, the thoughts of God, then everything becomes a joy to you. If you're doing something and dealing with anxiety, that's your spirit saying, stop. Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. So what we do is we look at a situation, we step back and say, God, is that you? And even if it's a serpent, if God says, take it up by the tail, Moses, then you do it, and it turns into the staff of God. But you need to know the thoughts of God. So you need to pray prayers that you mean with as much faith as you pray when you're in trouble. Like, God, fill me with your spirit. God, I don't want anything in my life. I don't want to do anything that is displeasing to you. But that's not good enough. That's just better. I want to do what pleases you. I want to walk in your favor. See, it's that generation that today God is raising up, true worshipers. The word of revelation isn't just so some preacher looks smart. It's so you get the heartbeat of God, so you get the thoughts of God. So now you know what the Holy Spirit is about. He's about revealing the thoughts of God. So instead of information, it is transformation. It's illumination. It's the details of God's character being made alive on the inside of you. Better than what is a comparison word. And if you can compare it to something that you need or want or better than it was, it's still bad. It's not nearly close to being good enough. And here's what's important. You need good enough so you can be in relationship with the Father. We ended up in a very short amount of time having a relationship with a server because we had something in common. We had common grounds. He was born where my wife, he lived where my wife lived, knew the place, loved where I came from, loved the food there. We started talking. We forgot about the food. He was no longer a server, he was a friend. And I didn't even get his name. When he walked away, I said, what's the manager's name? And he told me. And his name was, I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. In order to have a real relationship with God, you have to have something in common, because God is holy. Oh, yes, he is. God is holy. And when you think of a holy God, you might think about yourself standing over there in the corner while God's over here in the center of the room. But the reality is his holiness is what draws us into him. See, all the great that God is, he made you to receive that. He made you a recipient of who he is and what he is. And I know it because the word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you so specifically, curiously, and wonderfully. You're wonderfully designed. There's nothing wrong with your design. As a matter of fact, if you only knew your design, your life would transform. If you really knew what you are designed for, your world would be changed. If you only knew. So what God is saying today is the Holy Spirit will tell you what you're designed for. And in that beyond, exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think, I'll tell you straight up, your desires and your wants get you in a lot of trouble and hold you back for a long, long time. But the will of the Father will promote you in ways you would never have imagined in the deepest recesses and quarters of your mind. He said, I will to do exceeding, abundant, beyond all you know to ask or think. What is he saying? You can't ask enough. You can't desire enough. You think the little thing you want that rebels against me is compared, could possibly be compared to what I would give you if you would only know. It's kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar. The guy, every time he got out of trouble, he just got himself back in the same spot because he wasn't a worshiper of God. He loved himself more than he loved anybody else. And so no matter what happened, he stayed in trouble. When Moses is walking through the wilderness with the children of Israel, God opens the sea. No matter what you see that meets your criteria of proving that God is God, it's never going to be enough. My goodness, I've wondered, how could they possibly have doubted God when he opened a sea before them? I mean, never been done before. The word says the things that are being done here have never, ever been done before. I'm doing it to show you that I'm great God. I'm beyond your... None of them walked up there and went, whoa, you know what? I know what's going to happen. We're going to walk right through the sea. Moses, I know what's going to happen. We're walking through the sea. They all went there and went, we're about to die. There's no place to go, and Pharaoh and his army, and he's angry. They're right behind us. There's a pillar of fire at night and a cloud that hovered over them during the day. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't satisfy them, and it won't satisfy you. No matter what God does to prove to you that he is God, it will never reveal to you who he is until you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. And what was that mind? He surrendered himself, the word says, to the will of God. Great, great things are posed to happen right now. Great things. And the greatest experience you will ever have, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, is the will of God. The greatest thing that will ever take place in your life is the will of God. The one thing that will satisfy you, the one thing that will give you peace, the one thing that will show you what joy really is the will of God. The will of God is what you're looking for. The mind of God is how you have relationship with the Father, because he's holy. His ways are beyond your ways. His thoughts beyond, superior, so superior. Isn't that awesome that he created a container and he called it mankind? And he said, I can fill you with who I am. And I've created you in such a way that I've made you spirit and I've made you alive, so there's no end. I can continue to fill and fill and fill and fill. It was demonstrated when the woman's husband died and they were going to take her family, going to take everything, her sons and daughters and her sons for slaves. And the prophet, she asked the prophet, what do I do? And he said, just get a vessel and go get them filled. God will just get a vessel, as many as you can find. God kept filling and filling and filling and filling. There was no end. There was no end until she ran out of vessels. Don't run out of a vessel. Don't run out of hunger for God. Be desperate for who he is. He made us so we are endless vessels of receptiveness. We can continue to take and to drink and to be filled over and over and over. And that's where satisfaction comes in. That's why the word says be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not saying be full. He's saying, be filled. The Spirit is endless. God is an invisible God. And he made us in a way that we could not see him. Even though angels can see him, the word says, guess who they're looking at? They're watching you. Because you have the power of faith on the inside of you. And you don't even know how great the God that created you is. And how great he thinks about you. He thinks so great about you. If you just knew... how great God thinks about you, you'd never feel worthless another day in your life, because God formed you for his purpose and for his pleasure. That doesn't mean that you serve him and he goes, oh, you're making me happy. It means I formed you so you will know my purpose, you will know my joy, you will know my pleasure. I want to share it with you. God hasn't called you through hardship. Your call, the fulfilling of your call and your purpose, doesn't come through hardship. It comes through fellowship. It doesn't have to be that hard. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my burden on you. It's way lighter than yours. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest to your soul. This is a really good place to shout right here, right here, right there. God doesn't necessarily want to make your life any better, because better isn't good enough, not even close. Better is a comparison word. And what can you compare to the greatness of God? It's a relationship. And the only way I can be in relationship with the Father is to know the mind of God. and it's so easy. It's so great, and it's so easy. Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Look at it like this, God, if you would be so good, and you are good, oh, you're so good, but if you would be so good to reveal your will to me, if you would just reveal your will, I couldn't ask for anything more. Everything I'm looking for is in your will. If you could please reveal your will to me, I'd be the happiest person in the world. Your kingdom, you're willing to give me your kingdom. And you're telling me to pray for that. You're telling me, pray, your kingdom come through me. Your will be revealed and be done in me. That's not better. That's best. That's not better. That's good. That's not better. That's great. Those that delight in my righteousness. Delight in my righteousness. You don't even have to try to overcome things. He will overcome them through you. You don't have to try to be better. Better is hardship. Relationship is easy. In relationship with Him, what you're not supposed to do, you just won't want to do it anymore. That yearning that I need, I've got to have. God, please give me. It will go away, and your prayer won't be like that anymore. It'll be like Jesus. Not my will. Here's a man. He became man, feeling just the way you're feeling. Sensitive to the same kind of pain you're sensitive to. Not callous in any way. Knowing he was rejected. Knowing he was hated. Knowing he was spit upon. Knowing he was beaten. Knowing he was called a devil, a son of God. Can you imagine? And he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Because if they did, they wouldn't. Because I am the way, he said, I am the truth. I am the life. And the lie will never satisfy you. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And it's as easy as saying, I mean it with all my heart, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, would you reveal your will to me? Would you please reveal your will to me? The greatest thing that will ever take place in your life is God's will. And this is the greatest season of your life. Yeah. Would you stand with me? I always like us to stand. The word says, let's come together. Let's worship Him in the spirit of holiness. His holiness. I'm telling you, it's so... As a kid, I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know Him. I didn't know God. I just didn't know Him. I wasn't taught. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I just didn't know. But I do remember just having this desire to pray. So I've always driven myself to my knees. God said to me one time later on, if you drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. And I thought, I like that. I'll take that. I'll drive myself. So I'm a little kid, I drove myself to my knees, but I didn't know God. I talked to Him, but I didn't have that, and I know this is in Christendom, that word relationship, but I'm talking about it for real. Not server relationship, a real relationship, a union, a common union, communion with the Father. When we take the bread and the juice, it's communion. It's we have something in common. The word communion comes from the word common union. We have something in common. God is so holy and so good and so perfect and so complete. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to know what it feels like to be like God. Only God is God. You'll never be God. But he wants you to know what it feels like, how great it feels to walk in holiness and fullness and life and peace, not to fear death. I believe in a generation that forgets how to die, forgets how to become sick, forgets how to be sad, forgets how to be afraid. I believe it's the kingdom of God. I believe it's here. Why wouldn't it be? God is full in all things. The word says his spirit runs through the entire earth. He's with us. He's God. He's not two people. He's one. He's God. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but he's one. He's God. Jesus said, I've known the Father and the Father knows me. But we're one. And the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father, but he's in the Father. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you're hearing the thoughts of God. Isn't that beautiful? When you hear the Holy Spirit convict you, it's a good thing. Don't plug your ears and say, I don't want to hear that. Say, God, the greatest thing I could ask for is your will. It's certainly not going to dissatisfy me. It's not going to be better than where I was. It's going to be greater than you could imagine. And I accept that, God. I want you to pray that with me today. Say, Jesus, I want to know you for who you really are. I ask you to answer this prayer. Reveal your will to me. Your kingdom come. Let it be revealed through me. Because you said your kingdom is in me. And let your will be done. I pray this. I mean it with all my heart and with all my faith. The greatest thing I will ever experience is your will, O God. Your will be done. And I pray this in the excellent name, the most holy name of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior. And everybody shouted, what a great day. What a great time. What a great opportunity to be able to hear and to understand, to hear, to receive. A lot of people heard Jesus. They saw him do a lot of wondrous things, but the word said they still didn't believe. Doesn't that tell you something? Hell and destruction are never full. Your eyes can never be satisfied. Your need can never give you the relationship with God that you need, even if he answers it. But your hunger for his will. Your hunger for his will. And God be glorified. Father, we praise you. And we thank you for your word. Let's pull on heaven today. Let's pull on heaven. Let's pull on heaven today. This is how close the kingdom of God is. The Greek says, for the kingdom of God is within your grasp. I like a strong rope that resembles and represents my tie between me and the Father. It's right here. It's strong. It's in my hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So let's pray together. I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to declare your worship to God right now. Take just a few seconds and tell God how much you love him. Go ahead. Lift your voice. Make some noise in this house. Let me hear your voice. Elevate your voice. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are. We thank you that we know to call on you. We thank you that we can hear your word. Thank you that we have an opportunity to believe you, to look to you, to believe that there's more to me than me. That I'm about you, who you are. God be revealed in me. Sing through me. Praise through me. Do through me. Love through me. Work through me. Be glorified through me. Let your kingdom be made known through me. Let there be a generation that forgets how to get old. Let's experience some eternal life here. Jesus said, I am eternal life. Let's forget how to get sick all the time. Let's stay well more. Let's forget how to be sad. Let's just be happy. Let's remember how to be joyful and forget how to be sorrowful. Let's remember how to be well and forget how to be sick. Let's remember how to live and let's forget how to die. Let's remember how to be at peace and not to be stressed. Let's remember the goodness of the Lord. You are great, O God. You are holy. You are mighty. You are wonderful. Let your glory fill your people. I'm going to pray over you today. I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come in and start filling you. And it'll never end. When the Holy Spirit pours in, He doesn't leak out. But you're an eternity of receptiveness. You're an eternal vessel of God. And He continues to pour and pour and pour and pour into you. You get to know Him more and more and more. And every day it can be like you just met Him for the very first time. But you need to know that. It's through your faith that you experience God. So I want you to pray with me and say, Jesus, I pray. And I pray according to your will. Come on, I pray according to your will. Come on, I pray according to your will. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me burn on the inside for you. Let me burn so hot, so fervent for you that anything that would be an enemy would be like you in the furnace. It just falls dead. But I can walk around in the glory of your flame. Fill me with the fire of the furnace. You, God, are the fire. And we will not be burned. Say it. We will not be burned. Come on, we will not be burned. You are the fire. And when anything or anyone, like the king says to you, can you come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You say, yeah, we can come out. We got a better question for you. I have a greater question for you. Can you come in? Can you come in? Are you ready to come in today? Are you really, really willing to come in? God, let me burn hot for you. I want to know you for who you are. Paul said, I pray continually for the spirit of wisdom and understanding that you may know him better and more. Does he burn on the inside of you? Does he burn deep? Does he burn hot? Does he burn furiously on the inside of you? My God is a consuming fire. He consumes me in his glory. He wants to consume you in his presence. He is the everlasting one. Liane, you are going to burn like you have never burned before. A desire so irresistibly fervent on the inside of you. I'm prophesying this to you. I'm not going to say I know you love the Lord. I know, I'm just telling you what I hear. You're just going to burn on the inside. And words of peace, even when you write things down. I literally see a pen in your hand, literally physically writing, not just typing on a device, but writing, penning down the mind of God. Burn with the fervor of God's mind in such a way that everything that is supposed to happen just can't help but take place in your life. A fire unconditional, so consuming that not another moment in your life can you feel the pain of the past. Not for a second. It's not a bitter memory in your mind. As a matter of fact, when you think back, all you can see is forward. When you think back, all you can sense is the embrace of God, how He kept you and held you, and how he's taking you and leading you. You and your business your business, business about the kingdom, but your business is not over. As a matter of fact, absolute clear new ideas, new opportunities are right in front of you. This is not retirement time. This is the time to excel in youth. I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and not faint. That's you. I call it out. The you that God sees you to be. You are to be. And so let it be. In Jesus' name. God, we give you praise and glory and honor. Jerry, there's a tempest like a wave, like a sea, like the tempest of the sea all around you. You're walking in places, you know, like walking on water. Wouldn't it be awesome to just walk on water? Just if I could, you know, I know we talk about Peter sank, but guys, he walked for a second. If it was just a couple of steps, he walked on water. The man walked on water. I never met a man that walked on water before. Water walker. This is a day of water walking. Spirit talking. This is a day of saying, God, as you said. Anton, you said something when I came into the door and it just hit me so hard. We were talking about something someone's dealing with and you just asked me how, basically, where are they? I said this and you said, it's okay. They're living by faith. Anton, that's you. First thing that came out of your mind, it's okay. It's always going to be okay, Anton. But better than okay, it's always going to be great and great and great and great and greater and greater. By the words of your mouth, because you're walking by faith, you're living by faith. It's always going to be that, always the yes and always the amen. I hear a new sound coming out of the body of Christ. I hear new song. It's not necessarily that the words are so much different, but the Spirit is. The spirit of the song is coming out of you. The spirit of worship is so tangible. It's so, you can smell the fragrance. There is a life within you, body of Christ, that is as vivid, as sensitive, as aware, as living as you've ever known yourself to be as an individual. Your spirit can taste. God is spirit, but yet the word says, taste and see the Lord is good. That's not your tongue. That's the spirit part of you coming so alive that you can literally taste the goodness of the Lord. A different kind of taste than our taste buds, but you taste God. It's just like, man, if I could taste God, I feel like I just had a great meal. And then Jesus said, eat of my body. Eat of me. Your spirit is more alive today. If you will allow, because God has given you dominion in this dimension. If you will allow, if you will receive, if you will draw on the spiritual reality of God in you, you will be so filled with joy, so filled with peace. You'll see a world you hadn't seen. The world will look at you and call you blessed of the Most High, even if they don't serve Him like Nebuchadnezzar did. They will call you blessed of the Most High. They will call you an unusual generation. They will transform into the likeness of your faith because your light is so bright. You don't put a bright light under a bushel. You set it on a hill. This is a day of God raising up people younger and more mature, setting them up and saying, just shine for me and watch what I'll do. Watch what I'll, if you love me, you should be interested. It should be a big deal to you to be a light to my people. It should be important to you. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. See, your spirit is very, very real. And one day, you'll know that. May you know it before that day. May you know it before that day. So this life is a witness to who God is. So it's not all about you. See, you can be a little bit more like God. For God so loved. God didn't tell you to do what he tells you to do because he wants you to be good, because we're not. He told you because he wants you to know how good he is. And he knows if he speaks his word and you say by faith, I'm going to do the will of God, he knows that he'll do it through you. He knows you can't fail because he knows who's going to do the will of God. It's his will. Come on. There isn't anything that'll ever happen to you that is good as the will of God. It's the greatest thing that'll ever take place in your life. And this is that day. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout in the house. Terry, burn, burn, burn. I pray the Spirit of God burn in you so hot that you can't sleep. That you're up in the dark hours and I see you just praising the Lord. This isn't just a future thing. This is a present thing. I see you just walking and praising, just quietly, not trying to disturb anything but heaven. And the Lord sees you when you do that. Walking, saying, God, you know what? I see in you, you got this. You have this message. I see behind you a barcode. Literally, physically, saw it. It just disappeared when I started to say it. I saw a barcode behind you, about the size that you are. A barcode. I've never said this in my life. God is scanning you and telling you your value. You're being scanned by heaven. Give me a scripture for that. God searches your heart and knows your mind. Not praying because you need him to do something. Praying him to him because you need to know his will. Praying and declaring his greatness and his goodness and his ever presence. God Almighty, the Lord ever wondrous, the Lord great in victory, the Lord fluent in his communication with you. I prophesy to you, you're filled with the Holy Spirit in a way you've never experienced in your life, and your mind will never for another second be troubled. You will never feel a disturbance in your mind and thoughts that are beyond the measure of your control. God isn't giving you better than. He's the best there is in you. And this is the greatest season of your life. God be glorified. He sees you. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. So you can't be good in your own self, but you'll be good because of his goodness sake. This is the greatest day of your life. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Come on. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let your glory be poured out in the earth. Let your people be receptive vessels, Father, that you continue to fill with your goodness and your glory. God, be seen, be heard. Let your glory be revealed in your earth. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory for always and forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, Amen.